There is one yontiv that we only experience in Hashanah Mu'ubaris, the yontiv of Purim Katan that we are all going to have this Friday and Shabbos, Yudalit v'tesva b'adar Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that there's very limited dinim that apply to this yontiv. We don't say tachnun l'matzeach, and there's machlokes apoiskim, maybe it's also behest for the tainis. However, the Ramah brings the Yeshayimrim that one shmi marbe b'mishta b'simcha, and he comments that although ein noyagin came, still it's worthwhile to be marve k'tzas v'suda lots is yedeh machmirim. And then the Ramah cryptically adds the following pasuk in Mishlei, v'toiv leiv mishta tomid. It's not clear what the Ramah's message is. There are those that say that since this is the last halacha in Orach Chaim, the Ramah was just looking for an appropriate nice ending to his perush, so he chose a nice pasuk that refers to Riboy Mishta Tomid. The Mishnah Berurah seems to understand that the Ramah is bringing this pasuk to encourage Riboy Suda B'Purim Katan, as a Toiv Leiv would relish every opportunity to be Marbe B'Suda L'Chvoid Anes Shenas Abit Malolu, says the Mishnah Berurah. However, it is possible that the Ramah is alluding to something deeper. It's possible that the Ramah is adding that although the Iker Minig is that it's not necessary to be makbid on this Shita, to be marbe b'mishta on Purim Katan, he's still encouraging us to experience some sort of mishta, as besides it being a way of being mekayim the dasa machmirim, there's an ingin of toiv leiv mishta tomid that one is meant to feel on Purim Katan. In order to properly appreciate this directive, we need to first understand what is this pasuk teaching us. Simply understood, it would seem that it's lauding Mishta Tomid as a value, which seems strange. Is life one big party or celebration? What does Shlomo HaMelech mean that a Toiv Leiv will experience Mishta Tomid? In order to properly understand this pasuk, we need to point out the dichotomy presented in this pasuk. Kol yimei ha'oni ro'im v'toiv leiv mishta tomid. Seems strange. Are oni and a toiv leiv opposites? Does a rich man by definition have a good heart? And does a poor man have a bad heart? What's Shlomo HaMelech's message? Explains the Gro in his Pirush HaMishlei. We are not referring to material wealth, but rather an Oshir and an Oni from the Torah's perspective. Says the Mishnah Novice, Eizeh Oshir HaSamech B'chelkoi. Accordingly, Eizeh Oni Misha'in HaSamech B'chelkoi. Says Shlomo HaMelech, your experience of life has very little to do with being from the haves or the have-nots, but much more to do with perspective. Kol Yimei HaOni Roim, an Oni that is not Samech B'chelkoi will experience a difficult life regardless of what he has. It's never enough. It's never as good as he would like it. It always feels like he wishes it would be different. Kol yimei oni roim. But on the other hand, an osher that sameach v'chelkoi, which Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us, is a byproduct of having a toiv leiv, he will experience a perpetual mishta. Life is great. Everything is perfect, or as good as it possibly could be. Accordingly, Shlomo HaMelech is not encouraging constant partying, but rather figuratively describing the human experience of a toiv leiv who is able to be sameach b'chelkoi and feels that every day feels like a reason for celebration as he focuses on all the good that he is showered with. With this in mind, maybe we can suggest that the Ramah is telling us a very fundamental yesod unique to the Mishta B'Simcha of Purim that will give us reason to take the opportunity to connect with the Mishta B'Simcha of Purim Katan, as if to say, if there's any Shita that holds as an Inyan of Mishta B'Simcha on Purim Katan, then besides the general Inyan of being Machmir to be Mekayim all Shitas, there's also a specific opportunity to focus on the concept of a Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid. What about the Mishta B'Simcha of Purim connects us to the experience of a Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid? In order to appreciate this connection, Perhaps it's in order to examine the unique aspect of Mishnah B'Simcha on Purim. Purim is the only Yontif that besides there being a din of Simcha, there's also a din of Mishnah. In fact, it seems that even the din Simcha of Purim is unique in its nature, as that it's not an independent mitzvah Simcha, but rather a derivative of the din Mishnah. Every Yontif is a din to be Mesameach B'Basar B'Yayin, but the wine is no different than the Basar. It's just meant to facilitate one's feeling of inner Simcha. Purim is unique that the Mishnah is actually the focus, and the Simcha Purim is part and parcel of the experience of that Mishnah. How are we to understand this unique din of Mishnah B'Simcha that we don't find many other Yontif? In fact, we find the din of Mechai Vinish L'Psumi B'Puria that's not found in any other Yontif. Seemingly, this alludes to a unique din of Mishnah on Purim. What's so unique about the Avodas Hayom of Purim? The Chazal encourage such Mishnah, where Adlo Yod is a value and a desired result. The Gran of the Mefarshim explain that what was so unique about the Neis Purim is how it was all done within Hester Ponim Ubederach HaTeva. As we experienced the story unfolding, there were many times that we could have felt that everything was purely Tzoris and Hester Ponim, and the end was near. The Nahafaychu that we experienced at the end of the Megillah gave us such incredible insight into the Hashkocha Pratis of Refuah Kaidin Lamaka, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the Hester, is not only Kula Toiv, but rather working overtime to pre-plan and orchestrate all the necessary Refuah and wrap all the Nisim into Teva in a way that's appropriate for the Anhoga of Hester Ponim. That is the special Simcha that one is meant to feel on Purim, the recognition that everything is perfect. Even what might feel like Hester Bonim has the master conductor pulling all the strings, synchronizing every last detail to benefit us in the most favorable way possible. When one internalizes this idea, he doesn't just feel Simcha, but rather his heart swells as he experiences that close connection with his Tata in Himmel, who doesn't just have his back, but is taking care of him in the best possible way. And that's what gives way to want to celebrate with Mishnah. When Chazal suggests that this Mishnah is meant to bring us to a level of inebriation that we lose our das, we're not looking for us, for ourselves to lose control. It's rather to relinquish our das to the Eibishter out of recognition of how we appreciate through the Nes Purim that we really have no way to distinguish between Or Hom and Baruch Mordechai. One's das would conclude that one is the epitome of good and another epitome of bad. But on Purim we gain a new perspective. Our das and perception is batel and mevutel to the das elyon. Only the Eibishter, the ultimate mativ, knows what is truly for our toiva. It's very interesting. Rashi defines Mechai Vinish the Besumi as lehishtaker b'yayin. There are numerous paiskim that are medayik from Rashi that one must be mekayim the din specifically through wine and to the exclusion of other methodologies. The Mefarshim try to understand what is so specific about yayin. Some explain that since so much of the Neis of Purim revolved around wine, so Chazal wanted to connect our mitzvahs mishnah to yayin. But maybe we could add a deeper meaning. There's something also very unique to wine. It's the only item the Chazal instituted a special bracha b'toyva ameitiv when one is brought a more chashiv wine than he was previously drinking. Why was this bracha only created for wine specifically? Taisus and Psachim is actually bothered by this question. Maybe we could suggest that anyone who ever witnessed the process of winemaking finds it very perplexing. They harvest the most beautiful grapes and suddenly you see them dumping them into a pit, and someone goes in and starts stomping and crushing those gorgeous grapes into one big mess. We would think at least now we have grape juice. And then we watch them let the juice bake in the sun until it ferments. And then they bury it in some barrel for years for it to further ferment. An onlooker looks and he says, that's so counterintuitive. You take the most versatile, delicious grapes, mipeiros, shenishtabcham ben Eretz Yisrael, and you go and destroy it at every possible stage. But anyone who really understands realizes that this is the unique aspect of grapes, that it improves through this very destructive process. Wine gives us that insight into the Ashkocha al-Yoina that also could often present as counterintuitive. But wine helps us understand that it's all Kulay Toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Toiv that's also Meitiv. That every process is ultimately for our benefit, even if it seems difficult or even destructive. Accordingly, we can understand that when we are relinquishing our das to the Eibishter, we are meant to do it specifically through Yayin, that presents this clarity, how everything is a process that screams HaToiv HaMeitiv, like the declaration that we make when we are presented with a more chashev wine that symbolizes this process. We make a bracha, Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv. With this in mind, we can explain that the Ramah is being meramis to us, that the Mishta of Purim is the Mishta of a life that a Toiv Lev experiences constantly. A person who has the clarity that Purim provides will automatically become a Toiv Lev as he internalizes that life is perfect and cannot be better because I have my Tata in Himmel that is orchestrating everything in perfect harmony. And I know, B'yadiyah Brura, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashkiach Tmidi, and he is the Toiv, V'hameitiv, V'afilo, V'hastara, Shebesaych HaHastara. Life cannot be better for my ultimate atova, and that generates a feeling of a toiv lei mishta tomid, and that is what the Ramah is alluding to. That if we could truly connect to that burst of clarity that comes along with the mishta of Purim, we will gain the maila of a toiv lei who has mishta tomid, and we would relish the opportunity to experience that mishta even on Purim Katan. It's interesting that Shulchan Aruch HaChaim begins with the halachas of Hanagas Adam Baboiker, all the constant and daily halachas, and then moves into the weekly mitzvahs of Shabbos, and then continues to the more unique halachas of the less frequent mayadim that are experienced only once a year. And the last siman in our Chaim discusses the rarest of Yom Tovim, Purim Katan. Yet the Ramah starts off siman Aleph with one tomid, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi tomid, and ends off with a different tomid, B'toyiv Leiv Mishta Tomid. What are these bookends of Tomid that seem to very polarized focuses of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid and B'toyiv Leiv Mishta Tomid? But the way we explain the Ramah, it is one continuous theme that are the true bookends of the Aruch Chaim of every Yid. Live your life with constant connection and feeling the Eibishter. It will both rein you into a self-discipline of Torah mitzvahs that the Ramah opens up with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid, but it will also benefit your experience of life and develop a Toiv Lev that will feel the Eibishter's embrace and feel the Mishta Tomid every day of your life, which is how the Ramah ends off Aruch Chaim B'Toiv Lev Mishta Tomid. As we celebrate this unique and rare Yom Tov of Purim Katan, let us heed the advice of the Ramah to be marbe b'mishta as an avoida of feeling the Eibishter's constant presence and protection, which will afford us a life of a toiv leiv, of a sameach b'chelkoi, that will constantly feel mishta tomid. A guten Shabbos, a guten Purim Katan.